All right, welcome to Christian Overcomers, and thank you for joining us for this Bible study. Revelation 13U, template of the last 7 years found in astronomy. I'm going to start this study out by reading this verse from Psalms 119. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge." That is a fascinating verse. You know, it says that every single day, the heavens are talking to us. They are actually giving us knowledge. How many people have taken the time to try to figure out what that knowledge is? You know, at first glance, it can be overwhelming. One sits there wondering, where do I start? Well, I'm telling you what, these cycles, eclipse cycles that we've been talking about and going through, this is a good place to start. Because you're going to start seeing some fascinating correlations between astronomy and the Bible. Check this out. One of the things we're going to get into today, or one of the correlations we are going to make with astronomy, is that the final 7 years, or the 2520 days in Daniel and Revelation, is actually illustrated in astronomy. I'm going to show you that in a minute, but first I'll have you look at this here. The last 7 years, from Daniel 9:27, as well as many other verses in Daniel and Revelation, refer to this period of time, the final 7 years, but it's bisected into 2 3.5-year segments. This bisection is called the midst of the seven. It's actually week in the English, the week of 7 years, the midst of the seven in Daniel 9, verse 27. So you see here, you see the 666 beast appears in the first 3.5 years. And then in the last 3.5 years, we have what is called the Great Tribulation. And this entire time is the time of the beast, or the time of the Antichrist. I guess more specifically, this entire time has to do with the trinity of evil that we talked about a number of studies ago in this 13th chapter. But again here, 3.5 years, 3.5 years is 1,260 days, according to biblical prophetic time. The time I'm speaking of is a perfect 360-day lunisolar year. Anyways, let's move on. We started talking about the 6 different eclipse cycles. We looked at a 9-year cycle called a SAR. We looked at an 18-year cycle called a SAROS, which is the foundation of all astronomical eclipse cycles. Actually, a 9-year SAR is simply this cycle bisected. All right, so we talked about those. And here is an example of a SAROS that we went over from 1843 to 1861, a period of 18 years. As you can see here, we have solar eclipses, total, partial, and then we have the lunar eclipses there, the 4 different major types of eclipses there. And you have eclipse 1 starts here. And over a period of 18 years and 10 and 11 days, or if you're looking at it by the lunar calendar here, 223 lunations, or 223 lunar months. It just keeps going around and around. And on average, you have 70 eclipses per cycle. All right, so that's kind of what we went over. Today we're going to talk about a 325-year eclipse cycle. a 326-year eclipse cycle, and a 651-year eclipse cycle, which is actually just the sum of these two cycles. It's actually, this cycle here, the 651-year cycle, is actually bisected into two segments, a 325-year and a 326-year. And I'll give you an illustration of that in a minute. Number six, there is a grand eclipse cycle of 5,859 years. All right, from page 122 of All Past Time, this book that claims to have tracked all of, well, major historical events and chronology using eclipse cycles, as well as other lunisolar cycles, and but basically by using astronomy. So these are the three major cycles they point out in this book. You have the regular Saros cycle, 18 years. It's actually, this is a rounded number. He's using a 360 day prophetic year instead of 365.25. So that's why he's coming up with this round number here. But we'll just use it as is here. 9 plus 9. If you bisect that cycle into two, you have 9 on either side. It's really 9.5 days on either side. Then we get to the cycle we're going to talk about today, the 651-year cycle. Again, he has 649 here. It's because he's using a 360-day year instead of a 365.25. All right. So this has 36 Saroses in it, 36 18-year periods. And bisected in the middle, you have 325 plus 326. So these are two major cycles, really, that turn into four different cycles. Actually, if you count the cycles themselves, it actually would be, what would it be? 1, 2, 3 for the entire one here. 4, 5, 6. It'd actually be six. So actually there would be, technically, if you wanted to look at it, there'd be seven major eclipse cycles. But anyhow, moving on. That's what we're going to look at today, is that 651-year cycle bisected. And we're going to see how that correlates with the midst of the week of Daniel 9:26. And we're going to start, before I'm going to lay some groundwork here, by reading a few paragraphs from the computation of 666. And it reads from page 236, the second eclipse cycle, or first date repeating eclipse cycle, consists of 325 and 326 years alternately. The third eclipse cycle, or second date repeating cycle, eclipse cycle, consists of the sum of these last two mentioned periods. In other words, it is a cycle of 651 years, and we showed that in the prior slide. Now, excuse me. Now, the numbers of the eclipses in all cycles correspond with all the figures connected in Scripture with Gentile rule, or the rule of the non-Christian nations, and or of the beast system, if you would. In the primary eclipse cycle, we saw the astronomic basis of the 70 years duration of the servitude with its subdivision into 37 and 33. Okay, we went over that. We showed a bunch of slides on that. In the two date repeating cycles, we find ourselves introduced to the number of the hebdomad of 2520 days with its subdivision into two periods of 1260. For in the second eclipse cycle, or the first date repeating cycle, whether it be one of the 325 years or one of the 326 years, the number of eclipses is exactly 1260. Thus, the grand cycle of 651 years, the great astronomic year, contains 2520 eclipses, 325 of which contain 1260. There we are. Thus, the grand cycle of 651 years, the great astronomic year, we're rereading that, contains 2520 eclipses, 325 of which years contain 1260. And the remaining 326 also 1260 eclipses. The very division, now listen closely, the very division found in Daniel 9 verse 27 of the 2520 days of the final hebdomad, that's the final 7 years, i.e. into twice 1260 days. Nor does the analogy end here. That portion of the apocalypse known as the contents of the little book is a continuation of the book of Daniel. For whereas the angel told Daniel to seal up the book, in the apocalypse, the same angel appears with the book opened. Its contents comprise Revelation chapter 11 to Revelation 19, inclusive. In Revelation 13, which is the portion of this passage, one more mystic number is added, the most important of any, 666. And that's why we are here today, studying all this astronomy, all this numerology, and we did a little bit of geometry, not much yet. But it's because we were trying to solve that great equation of Revelation chapter 13, and this is where the Lord has led us. Fascinating. Anyways, continuing on. This number 666 thus appears connected with the date-repeating eclipse cycles. Of the 1260 eclipses in the first date-repeating cycle, there are exactly 666 total or annular eclipses against 594 that are only partial. Now, I don't think I ever really explained what an annular eclipse is. It's a total eclipse, but it's during the time of year when the moon does not actually completely block out the sun. In other words, the moon's diameter appears smaller than the sun, but it still goes directly all the way inside of it. But during a total eclipse, all you see is the corona of the sun, okay? So anyways, that lays a little groundwork for what we're going to get into today. Everything we just read here, hey, if you weren't following and you thought, hey, that's a lot of numbers, well, we're going to get into, we're going to break it down with some visuals here that'll make it really simple, and I think you're really going to enjoy it. All right. Many of you recognize this slide. This is a slide I use to explain this grand eclipse cycle of 650 years and how it contained 2520 eclipses. But I actually updated this one to make it a little better, where we actually matched up the signs of the zodiac with the current cycles that we are in today. And here we're going to take a look at that. And here's that. So you've got a lot of extra bells and whistles added on there, and we got the wheels turning here. We got them accurate. I know this looks like a lot of stuff at first, so what we're going to do, we're going to strip this down and build up so that you know how each piece works. So basically, most of you are familiar with a solar year and 365.25 days, approximately. The sun makes its trek through each sign of the zodiac Of course, you know it's actually the Earth that's moving around the sun, but from our vantage point on Earth, we're looking up. We see the sun move through each sign, and I'll show you a little illustration of that. So you go from Pisces to Aries to Taurus to Gemini to Cancer to Leo to Virgo to Libra to Scorpio to Sagittarius to Capricorn to Aquarius, and then back up through Pisces. So that's what the sun does over and over again. And keep in mind, there are 12 signs of the zodiac. There are also 12 apostles. There were the 12 tribes of Israel. That's what these represent in one aspect. Of the sun, obviously, remember Christ in the book of Malachi is referred to as the Son of Righteousness. So he travels all the way around the circle with his chosen. Fascinating. All right. So that is one astronaut. That's a simple astronomical cycle of time, a solar year. What we're going to look at today is something similar to that, but on a much grander scale. We're going to check this out here. All right, we're going to look at that 651-year eclipse cycle that contains a total of 2520 eclipses. And this symbol here is a solar eclipse, total or annular, that begins each 18-year 10 to 11-day Saros of 70 eclipses. So every time you see this symbol here, This total eclipse, total or annular eclipse, today it's going to represent a new sorrow cycle. And this is important to point out as well. You see, each sign of the zodiac, let's just start at Pisces here, for example, takes up 30 degrees of the heavens. Of the circle. So if you add them all up, they equal 360 degrees. And that's why that number is so important in biblical gematria, in biblical astronomy, as well as to the pagans who have stolen this number. So it's very significant. You've seen before where you can actually, if you drop the zero here, you got 36. Well, what are there? 36 constellations in the 360 degrees. All right, so numerology, the way God has created it, is just fascinating. But, all right, so that's what that is. Now we'll shrink that, those 30 degrees. I just wanted you to know what that is. And we'll start looking at these cycles here. All right. According to All Past Time, by five lines of astronomical time, it says all eclipses and transits from creation. And I'm not going to go in and talk about this. But according to this book that uses astronomy to track time by this Christian scholar, he says that January 11th, 1861, began the first Saros of the current 651-year cycle that we are in today. And that it began at this eclipse. All right. Now, we'll add in all of our Saros cycles. See, each number here represents a new Saros cycle. And as you can see, as you go around the wheel here, the circle, there are 36 of them. 36 times 18, 10 to 11 day cycles of 70 eclipses each. So within each one of these numbers is 70 eclipses. Okay? Oop, I'll go backwards there for a second. All right. So we start here and we're going to go this way. But first, I'll overlay this here. I don't know what happened to my... I accidentally deleted it, it looks like. Let's see if it comes back. Whoops. Hopefully it'll come back in the later slides, but all right, sorry about that. This is the fall equinox, and this is around September 20th. These are approximate days. These fluctuate a little bit per year, but I got them right here for now. So anyways, the summer equinox should be here, or the fall equinox, I'm sorry. And why this is important, why I put this over the grid here, is because we're going to build off this in studies that are coming up. It's very important. It's very important the way this is divided up. But let's start going through this now. All right, we go 18 years later. At the beginning of sorrow cycle number 2, we see that same eclipse. It's the same one that's repeating over and over again. Because these eclipses repeat every 18 years and 10 days. Excuse me. And then as you can see, we keep going. Every 18 years, new sorrow cycles begin. All right, one of them actually began on the spring equinox. And then we get to the beginning of sorrow cycle number 9. This actually began on April 8th, 2005. This is our current sorrow cycle, which I think is fascinating to be able to see where we're at in time by looking at these cycles. And this is what it looked like on that day. This is an image from Stellarium. You can find this by this astronomy software online, and it's free. But you can see here in the year 2005, April 8th, the first year of our current sorrow cycle, this is what that eclipse is, a total eclipse. The moon is in front of the sun in the constellation of Pisces. You see these two fish here? Pretty cool to be able to actually see it. Using Stellarium along with this really helps this stuff sink in, you know, so you're not just looking at, you're looking at a virtual image of reality of what you see up there. This is what happens. All right. Back to our chart here now. So there we are. And of course, if you just kept going, you'd have more that same one repeating, and then our next sorrow cycle would begin on April 20th, 2023. Okay, so we got a little bit of ways away from that. Now, I'm not saying that these sorrow cycles, I'm not saying that the end's going to come at the end of the 36th cycle or anything like that. That's not what this is about. This is about using the stars to track time. The movements using astronomy to track time, as well as seeing the patterns involved, because there's knowledge contained in the patterns. Okay, God does everything by pattern, everything by number. And when we start seeing the same patterns popping up, we can start rightly dividing the plan of God. All right. So if we just kept repeating, we'd just go 18, 18 all the way around. Oh, there I finally got it. The fall equinox came back in there. September 22nd. All right. You go all the way to the beginning of the last cycle, and then you would start a new cycle. 651 years later, 36 sorrow cycles later, it would bring you to January 20th, 2512. The start of the next 651-year cycle. Now, again, this has nothing to do with the end days, when it's going to begin. If you're looking at that and saying, oh, I want the end to happen this year, I can't wait till 2512, that's not what this is about. You'll see what this is about. It actually, the pattern, like I said in the beginning, is going to mirror the time of the end. but on a grander scale, like a bigger ratio. All right, so look up here to the left. 651 years gives you a total. There are a total of 2520 eclipses there. This breaks down again into two different smaller cycles, a 325-year cycle and a 326-year cycle. The 325-year cycle contains 1,260 eclipses. And the 326 as well. See that? That's fascinating. Are you beginning to see the correlation there? Between this and the final 7-year period? If not, you'll see it here real soon. All right. In this first 325-year cycle, there are a total of 666 total or annular eclipses. And 594 that are partial. Okay, so 594 plus 666 gives you 1260. That is very interesting. What do we have there? The number of the beast. You see, that's why when God said it takes a great deal of wisdom to compute the number of the beast. Or I should say, this is an example of why God says it takes a great deal of wisdom to compute the number of the beast, because you're not going to be able to do it unless you track down to see where that number is used in creation and astronomy, as well as by the enemy. All right? So this is part of our objective here. We're trying to figure out, why does 666 pop up among these numbers that we see? What's going on here? Well, we're gathering information, and I hope you're doing the same. Anyways, here, let's move on. Okay, I'm going to read this here. This is about 666 again here. He says, of the 1,200, this is from the computation of 666, of the 1,260 eclipses in the first date repeating cycle, there are exactly 666 total or annular eclipses against 594 that are only partial. 666 is often thought to be a number peculiarly suggestive of incompletion or imperfection, 6 being short of 7, the number of spiritual completion. The remaining number, 594, suggests the same thought of incompletion. 7, 10, and 12 are regarded as three numbers that express the thought of completion in three different aspects. One short of each of these numbers would be 6, 9, and 11, respectively, and their product, 594. Is therefore, like 666, a number peculiarly expressive of incompletion. Interesting. That's an interesting tidbit there. All right. Now, this is where it gets really interesting. We're going to compare the numbers and ratios of astronomy with the biblical prophetic times of Daniel and Revelation, the time of the 7 years, specifically here today. The 7 years of Daniel and Revelation is equal to 2520 days, or 2520 days, just like the number of eclipses here in a 651-year cycle. All right, now we're going to bisect it, just like we did above. And if you bisect 2520 days, what do you get? 1260 days on either side, just like up here with the eclipses. Fascinating. And then what else do we have in the first 3.5 years, our first 1260 days? Well, the book of Revelation tells us that the 666 beast begins his reign as Antichrist. Interesting. So we have 666 in the first half here. You have it in the first half up here as well. Okay, so this is kind of locking it in. You might be wondering what. Well, I'm going to show you something else here really quick. Now, if we move the decimal places backwards two points. Now, this, somebody might be thinking, you're playing with numbers here. This is the way biblical numerology works. And it's a scientific way of moving numbers. It's not haphazardly. It's the way the ancients did it. It's the way the pagans did it because they got into learning true numerology, but they've perverted it. But they know how to do creation math, so to speak. I should just call it true math. Because the math we learn today in schools does not touch upon the very important meanings of what math is all about. Anyways, so if we move the 2 points over, you get 6.51 years and 3.25 years plus 3.26 years. Now that's pretty interesting. But it goes even further than that. Watch this. Now, if we rounded up the decimal places that we moved, rounded up, it would become 7 years divided into 2 3.5-year segments, giving you the same number here, 1260 and 1260. Can you see this? We have a mirror image of the end days displayed in a 651-year eclipse cycle. As you saw in the last study, these eclipse cycles, the children of Israel were broken up according to different ratios of the 70. You know, we're only basically just beginning to get into the meat and potatoes of this all. This takes time. It takes effort. And if you're willing to go through it, if you're willing to compute like God said that the wise would do, you will be rewarded. And not only that, I firmly believe that to be an overcomer, some of this knowledge may even be necessary. Because there is something coming up. This stuff that we're looking at here is going to become the world religion. By that I mean a satanic twist to it. I'm speaking about astrotheology. Now, the thing about astrotheology is you ever wonder why all the pagan temples and everything pointed to the movements of the heavens? Have you ever wondered that? Well, there's many reasons why, but that it's because that's where the high, that's where, I should say it that way, that's where the profound knowledge lies. But they take that knowledge, they look at these numbers, and they use this to do things such as manipulate God's creation, to manipulate the minds of men by using it and applying it to witchcraft, sorcery, and other types of things. So don't for a minute think the enemy doesn't know this stuff. Know the eclipse cycles and things like that. It's very important to them. But they use it in a sinister way. They use it in a sinister way. So my point is what they're going to say in the future. And they're already saying it now, and that's how I know. They're going to try to say that, because when you start getting into the Bible and you dig deep enough, you're going to see that there is what's called astrotheology, or you know, there's a relationship between astronomy and the Bible all throughout it. And they try to say, well, the pagans had that first, so what's really going on here is that Christianity is nothing but a spin-off of paganism. And that is, you know, that is one of the worst satanic lies. And it will deceive so many people. Because they're going to look, they're going to say, well, look, it says Jesus Christ, or it says in the book of Malachi that Jesus Christ was the S-U-N of God. They're going to say, well, that paganism's worshiped a sun god. So what is Christianity? Well, it's nothing more than a different form of paganism. But you see where the lie is that paganism has copied and perverted the truth of Almighty God, the scriptures, the Bible, Christianity. Because it was there all along. In fact, to be more specific, as the book The Computation of 666 points out, is that most all of paganism stems from, believe it or not, the story of Noah's Ark. Because within that short story contains all of this stuff that we are talking about. In one way or the other, it contains the prophecy of Christ rising from the dead, as he was in that ark or that tomb for 3.5 days. Of course, Noah was on that ark for a different ratio of time, but it's all there. It's all there, and paganism copied it from the scriptures, as well as from influence of the fallen angels and stuff like that in Genesis chapter 6 and so forth. But my point is, we need to know this stuff at least well enough to know that it comes from God, so that when the Antichrist comes, he can't pull the wool over our eyes and say, Look at Christianity just copied this stuff. I am the true Messiah. All right? The deception's going to be great, and you're going to need knowledge. All throughout, the overcomers, in Revelation chapter 15, they overcame the number of the beast, his name, his image, and his mark. That's not a generality, my friend. You have to know what each one of those pieces are. At least that should be your quest, your prayer. All right, back to what we're talking about here. So what is so significant about this? You see here, 7 years, 7 years, 3.5 years, 3.5 years. It all ends up being the same. Well, the significance of this is, if this, if astronomy, the cycles in astronomy, are a template of the last days, then what other numbers can we find here that will tell us what's going on here? You see what I'm saying? There are things like the seven trumpets. There are things such as the seven vials. And many other events in the book of Revelation that a lot of people want to know, okay, where do they fit? Do they fit over here on this first 3.5 years? Or do they fit over here? And exactly where? Well, in a different ratio, I'm confident that all of those answers, all of those numbers can be found. That is something so huge. I can't believe I've never even heard anybody talk about this stuff. Am I trying to say Pastor Ben's the only one that you can get this information from? No, I'm not. I'm sure there are others out there. I just wish to God that more people would be studying this stuff. That book that I quoted from, The Computation of 666, I'm going to quote from it again. I was actually called up one of my friends the other day, and I practically begged him to study it so I could have somebody to really, you know, brainstorm with, to help prepare for some of these studies, because it's always nice to have somebody else digging into something that you can talk to with, that you can communicate with. My goal here is to take these things and try to simplify them the best I can. I hope I'm doing that here. I hope you're following along. But so this is huge. This is huge. All right. Another thing we're going to talk about, you're going to see the number, the 2300 displayed in astronomy. We're not going to get to that today. But that's there. You know, many of you have heard me, you just heard me say that number, right? 2300. Well, that is a number in the book of Daniel that kind of just seems to not fit anywhere. People have made theories on it and made, you know, complex mathematical formulas that, well, if you want my opinion, I don't think there's a foundation for those whatsoever, because they're not aligning it with astronomy or actual biblical or creation math. This is the foundation of where we build off of. This is it, my friends. It's given to us in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, that the stars, the sun and the moon and the stars are for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Everything in prophecy has to fall onto this foundation, the movements of the sun and the moon and the stars. Not somebody's, ingenuitive calculation of divide 3 weeks of Daniel's days and you get one point something and you times it times this and that back and forth. No, it's always going to, when I'm getting into God's numerology, it always does something totally mind-blowing simple, like this. Just moving some decimal points over and rounding up. Or counting eclipses. I mean, in this high-tech generation, we're almost left without excuse to be able to figure these things out, other than the fact that there's hardly anybody out there teaching this. All right, anyways. By the way, this Passover 2015, we're having a gathering here in Minnesota at a hotel, and there's information about it on our website. There are limited seats. We're getting kind of close to being full, but if you want to come, I think it's April 24th, 25th. I might, be sure to check me out on that. We're going to be digging into the crucifixion and the meaning of the cross in many different aspects, even according to astronomy. It's not going to be centered around that completely, but I tell you what, we want to understand the impact. That's what Passover is all about, is understanding the impact and the meaning of what Christ did for us. And we'll even show some astronomical things as well. It's going to be exciting. If you live close by or you can make the trek, I hope you do. You need to RSVP so that we know how many people are coming and we can be sure we have enough space. Anyways, moving on. All right. Probably could just cut it short right there, but let's keep moving. I'm going to go back to this computation of 666 again. We're going to talk about the number 2520 and 1260 here. On the other hand, curiously enough, not only is 2520 the product of the great numbers emblematic of perfection, it was It's right down here. 3, 7, 10, and 12. All right. If I just kept reading, I would have been there. Okay, I'll start that again. On the other hand, curiously enough, not only is 2520 the product of the great numbers emblematic of perfection, say 3 times 7 times 10 times 12, that gives you 2520, but the number 1260 has been divided by God's providence in connection with the Gentile kingdom into two numbers peculiarly expressive of perfection, 770 and 490, and in a way that unmistakably connects the Gentile kingdom with the year and day principle. Now, we're talking about year and day. Now, this doesn't mean, I just want to stress this point here. When we get to the book of Revelation and you're talking about a 1260 days, I'm not saying, and that people who take a historicist view or some other view of the Bible, they try to use a year and day principle and say this stuff already happened. 1260 days in the book of Revelation, I believe, are literal days that will come to pass. These other things are other cycles of time that are simply in relation to it, based on their ratios. In other words, God deals with men during periods of 1260 days. He also deals with them in periods of 1260 years. All right? It's fascinating. All right. I say peculiarly expressive of perfection because in each of these subdivisions, the number 7 is doubled, the one being 700 plus 70, and the other being 7 times 70. The former number expressed in years, that's this number here, constitutes the epact of the precession of equinoxes, being the difference between 25,847 solar and 25,847 lunar years. The latter number, 490, has always been a number expressive of completion of God's dealings with man. All right? Interesting. All right? So basically what we have here, 770 plus 490, is one way that 1260 is broken up into those two segments. Now that's interesting. When we look at it on a minor scale, will the last or first 3.5 years be broken up into these two different segments with different events going on? Maybe. We'll see. But where do we get the number 770? Where did the author get the number 770? From the precession of equinoxes. All right, there are 26,617 lunar years in a precession of the equinox. Now that was, I'm just going to do it over here, I'm not going to draw it. You remember the sun, how it went through each sign of the zodiac this way in a circle? It would take 365 days for it to do that. During precession of equinoxes, because of the odd number of days, 365.25 days, over time, the sun actually at the equinox appears to drop back a sign until it makes a full circle. And I believe that happens every 2,160 years. We move from sign to sign to sign. We talked about that in an earlier study. But anyways, so that's what that is. 26,617 lunar years. And since lunar years are shorter than solar years, there's 354 days in a lunar year versus 365. So it's about a 10-day difference. Since they're shorter, you need more of them. Okay? So that's why you have 26,617 lunar years versus 25,847 solar years to make a complete precession of the equinoxes. All right, a great year, the year of the gods is what some people call it, the year of the angels. But this is how he got the number. You take away that, gives you that, 770. The difference between the lunar years and the solar years. Now, 490, that's interesting that 1260 breaks up that way and that it's contained within here, is the 77s, the 70 by 7, 70 sets of 7 years, gives you 490 years. So, and this is from Daniel 9:24, where it says, 70 weeks or 77s are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. In other words, until Christ returns at his second advent. There'd be 77s. Well, we're in a period right now waiting for the final seven to start. There, for some reason, that was cut off and left in abeyance. And knowing what I know now about numerology and things like that, well, it's making more sense. God does things like that with numbers. But notice here, the 1260 days themselves are a part of the 490 years, or the 77s. It's half of the last seven. These ratios are amazing, how they fit in with there. Now check this out. This is really interesting as well. This number 770. Now if we split it apart, we have 7 and 70. Or we could say 7 times 70. Now check this out. If you reverse it, 770 can be expressed as 70 times 7. You see it there? It's also here. If all this stuff doesn't intrigue you to know that God has a perfect plan, then I don't know what would. I don't know what would. This stuff is fascinating. All right. You know, and this kind of stuff right here, some people, again, people think this is just playing with numbers. No, this is a scientific way of dealing with numbers. These sort of correlations this isn't just some freak occurrence. They happen over and over and over again. And it's everywhere. In God's word and creation. All right. Now, excuse me. I'm going to read a little bit more to close this study up from the computation of 666. The latter number 490 has always been a number expressive of the completion of God's dealing with man. Remember when the disciples asked him, hey, how often should I forgive my brother? He said, till 70 times 7. Or 490 times, he said. Until 490 times. Isn't that interesting? It's amazing. Okay. Thus, from the building of the ark to the Exodus are 980 years, which is 2 times 490 years. So God, you know, that's the way he deals. He deals with these ratios. From the Exodus to the entry into Canaan are 490 months. Fascinating. He uses lunar months in his calendar too. From the entry into Canaan to the kingdom under Saul are 490 years. From the kingdom under Saul to the servitude under Nebuchadnezzar, 1096 to 606 are 490 years. We may arrange these thus. From the ark to the Exodus, twice times 490. From the Exodus to Canaan, 490 months. From Canaan to the servitude, twice 490 years. The total of this remarkable chain amounts to exactly a double millennium, or 2,000 years, say 980 plus 40 plus 980 years. That's what I'm saying, you know, this book is just, I cannot believe such a profound work has pretty much disappeared among Christianity. It was odd how I even found this searching on Google. I shouldn't say it's odd because I had prayed about it. I had, you know, I'd sat down and said, you know, sometimes you can be a little forward with the Father. You say, hey, I want to understand. This is basically what I said. I said, I want to understand how to compute this 666. I can see and tell that there's a lot more to it than most people have gotten into. I can just feel that there is. And I said, you promised in your word that if we ask, seek, and knock, that you would open to us the understanding. I said, I'm claiming that promise. Please, help me to understand. And then it wasn't very much longer that I was doing some research, just doing some Google searches, and I came across this book. And then I found out later that other scholars that I had trusted referenced it, such as E.W. Bollinger. And then, you know, getting into it and rereading it and rereading it and writing notes all over it, it's so profound, so important that this work needs to be revived. It needs to be revived. I had the question by somebody that said, hey, Pastor Ben, when are you going to get back teaching chapter by chapter and verse by verse? You know, because I have a lot of listeners that are used to that method of study, and it makes them nervous when you're not doing that. But, you know, in a sense, we are still on, we are going verse by verse through Revelation. We are still on Revelation chapter 13, verse 18, except this is a long commentary on that verse, a long study on just that one verse. Because what was the challenge there? It was profound. It was compute the number of the beast. And when I started getting into this, I started realizing that in order to really, really be able to teach Revelation and understand it in an exciting way, I had to get through this research first. Because when we get to Mystery Babylon and New Jerusalem, all of these things we are studying are going to come into play. And we're going to be able to expound those chapters, I believe, in a way it's just so exciting. I can't wait to do it. But we need this knowledge first. So, anyways, that's a little explanation of where we're at here. How important this is. This is really important. That's why God gave us that challenge. All right, continuing on. In the history of the temple, the same number, 490, forms the completion of the cycle. Number one, from the Exodus to the completion of Solomon's temple was 490 years. From the dedication of the first temple in the 11th year of Solomon, okay, and so forth, 490 years. And ultimately, you got the 70 hebdomads, the 77s of Daniel 9 consist of 490 years. This is just amazing. Now, the great era. Let me see here. I'm not going to go into that today. I'm going to move to one more page here. All right. So you see these other ones are broken up. Okay. Well, I'm going to skip that for now. He says the two external numbers, 1 and 4. Amount together to 770. And the two central numbers, he's referring to these here, 2 and 3 comprise the remaining 490 that make up the total period of 1260 lunar years. And, now check this out, as 490 and 770, those two numbers that actually add up to 1260, okay, 1260 lunar years, and as 490 and 770 is the same ratio as 7/11. The well-known pi proportion or relation of the radius to the circumference of a quadrant. Do you see that? Within the number 1260, you know, people say, well, the Bible, you know, it doesn't have anything scientific in it. You got to be kidding me. The Bible has the most profound science that man will ever discover, and we'll never completely discover it. Pi was in the Bible long ago. It's in astronomy, placed there by the hand of God. Pi is part. You know, pi has to do with a circle. What were we looking at? Circles of time. All right, moving on here. And if the numbers in the date repeating cycle, the date repeating eclipse cycles display the figuration of the beast, 666. Equally do they display that of the Lamb, which is the scriptural name of Christ, whenever placed in direct opposition to the beast. The Greek word for the Lamb used in the text have for, okay, Nota Numerica, 651. Numerica. Sounds like America. never realized that there anyways. And that's kind of funny. Don't know if that has anything to do with this at all, but just popped out at me. 651, the number of the great astronomic year. All right. So what's going on here? Well, I talked to you before about there was a false pagan god named Mithra who had the numeric value of 651. Well, the Lamb does. So you always see a good version and a bad version of these numbers and different astronomical events because the enemy is trying to subdue them. Now, why would the Lamb always be used in the book of Revelation in direct opposition to the beast? Remember the beast looked like he was sacrificed for the world and then came alive and the world worshipped him? Do you remember that? The dragon raised the beast from the dead? But the Lamb of God, the true Lamb. I'm going to say it this way. We talked about the beast there being a false resurrection in our earlier studies in this chapter. A copycat of Christ's resurrection. And you can see that displayed here. I'm going to say it simply. The Lamb is according to the law, is a clean sacrifice. Jesus Christ was a pure sacrifice. But a beast, such as this one mentioned here, according to the law, is an unclean, unfit sacrifice. Do you see how all of this comes together? Again, you know, I've taught some things and I've got some listeners that come from different ministries that had been taught some things differently. And sometimes they get offended when they hear me teach things. But I tell you what, I'm not looking for some of these things. Some of these other examples to back up things I've already taught. I'm just taking a look at things objectively and what happens. Many times, a lot of these things are coming back to support the things we've already taught. Does that make Pastor Ben some great guy or something? No. I'm just saying we look at what the Word says. And if it's true, you're going to see witness after witness come back from every single direction to verify it. It's not going to be something you have to stretch. You have to try to make work or bend it. You want it to fit the way you want it to. No, it doesn't work that way. You have to let it go and let the word speak for itself. You know, there are people sometimes that they get a favorite pastor, or favorite minister, or favorite denomination. And, some of them say they are the elect of God. You know, well, maybe some of them are. But some of these people that say they are these great people, great servants of God, they violate the law of God by using unjust standards. By that I mean unjust balances or measures. Because they will pick their favorite pastor, their favorite commentator, their favorite denomination, and they will judge them differently. They will hold them accountable to a different standard. Or if it's somebody they don't know, or somebody who, you know, just isn't their favorite superstar pastor, they'll judge them harshly and unjustly. And I bring that up because I know of many people that do that. They cling on to a certain pastor and they think that everything, word for word, is the gospel. And then they go and see somebody else. They say, well, that's not true. That's not the truth because my pastor didn't teach that. Well, wait a second. It's not whether the standard for meeting out measurements or the balances is not the words of any pastor, not myself, not any books you're reading, but whether or not it lines up with the Word of God. It's time people start using righteous measures and judgment, righteous standards. Anyways, that seriously is. It's one of the great violations of the law is to use unjust measures. That's to play favoritism. To like somebody over another person unjustly. Anyways, hey, I thought we were going to get into 666 versus 888 in this study. That's coming. It's coming, and it's in astronomy. But we just aren't quite there yet. So let me see what I got here. Well, what do we got? Okay, I think this is the last little bit we're going to read here. This is important. This is going to build into our next study. One more eclipse cycle remains. The fourth or maximum eclipse cycle harmonizes these movements of the eclipse through the year with the lunar month by means of the metonic cycle. It consists of 5,859 years, being exactly 9 times the cycle of 651 years. This figure, by the addition of 1, the number that links it, by Oriental modes of computation, with its repetition, becomes 5,860 years, a period equal to twice 2,300 years with 1,260 years added. Do you remember that number we were talking about that has most every biblical scholar kind of dumbfounded? It's going to be displayed within the next cycle that we're going to talk about. Thus it is apparent that all the numbers which the angel connects with the Antichrist, 360, 666, 1260, 2300, and 2520, as well as those into which Scripture divides the Jewish servitude or the Israelite servitude, 33, 37, and 70, and which repeated themselves, as history tells us, in the division of the lifetime of Herod, one who, like the Antichrist, both compassed the destruction of the Lamb and blasphemed God, were set forth by God at creation's dawn as the very ones upon which our whole computation of time was to be based. For he then determined the movements of the heavenly bodies and gave them for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. I'm going to close this up with just a couple of thoughts. What we're beginning to see is that number is at the root of all wisdom. Whether we're talking about gematria and things like that, it's all part of the Word of God, both in His Word and in creation. Because you think about it, all of the patterns in creation, they run by the same code, the same logos that the Bible does. Because, again, it's by the Creator. Now, check this out. Number is at the root of all wisdom. Arithmetic, or mathematics, is number in itself. Okay, the study of number in itself and its ratios and its proportions and relationships. All right, geometry, number in space. Because if you have like a cube or something, you're numbering in a 3D, in a 3D format with space involved there. Music is number in time. Did you ever know that? Music actually is number. It boils down to number in time. Like a beat, you know, it repeats after a certain amount of time. But when you get to astronomy, it is number in time and space. That is pretty significant. That's why, probably why astronomy is so important. Because it contains, just by the simple breakdown that we're seeing here, we can tell that it contains some of the most profound wisdom that can be attained by man. All right, as it should from this verse, we'll close it up here. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. Psalms 19, verses 1 through 2. All right, hope you enjoyed that study. Like we always say, because Christ said it, when he was tempted of the devil in Matthew chapter 4, he said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So see that you study it. See that you absorb it every single day so that you can be a Christian overcomer.